so much to unpack just for a few moments earlier. But next year, there will be what I call a more formal transition of leadership when Rina plans my surprise farewell party. Right, hint, hint, I must be surprised, right? And then we will have an installation service for her. So today is an official announcement. And those of you who are new to First Light, you may have problem understanding my accent. But according to research, if you speak with my accent, you sound 30% more intelligent. So if you don't understand what I'm going to say, the next few moments, just know that I'm saying something very intelligent, right? But just for a short devotion together before we close for our service today, because we need to have an early closing service because our worship team is having a choir practice because of our coming worship Christmas service, and there's a service at 6 p.m. by another church, so we are running right tight of time. So don't feel you've been shortchanged. But if you feel you're shortchanged, please come for the 22nd of December for our Christmas service. Then we're going to give you a very good sermon. Now, let's ask ourselves this question. Look at the slide. How has God been surprising you lately? How has God been surprising you lately? Well, at least for us as a community in First Light, we know that last year we faced a great financial crisis, right? Some of us remember that part. And then out of the blue, someone from overseas came and sold $100,000 into the church. And that so-called gave us a faith lift that God remembers us. Total stranger to many of us in this church, but yet someone was led by God to sow into First Light Church. Isn't God amazing? This is how God surprises us. In fact, just a few days ago, I caught up with my old classmate, which God has reconnected me after 40 years not seeing each other. And we were talking about another classmate of ours. You see, we had old classmates meets together, we gossip about other classmates. And we were talking about this classmate. Tragedy has befallen upon his house. His youngest daughter was suffering from leukemia. And this classmate, friend of mine, he had stage 4 cancer, and he some of you may know his story. He was the gangster I was telling you about a few months ago. And because of that situation of his life, and his cancer spread from his kidney to his spine to his brain. But then God really did a miracle. The daughter was first healed from leukemia, and just 2 days, 3 days ago, the oncologist declared my friend cancer-free. Amen? Praise the Lord. So God can surprise us. And usually God surprises us when we think we do not deserve it. Let's look at a story, a familiar Christmas story. Next slide, please. Right. The first Christmas story was full of surprises. Do you all agree? Those of us have been church long enough. There were angels appearing. There was wise men following a star. There was wondrous birth. Jesus was born through a virgin. And then one of the most famous stories about this elderly couple having a kid for the first time in their life. Let's look at the text. Most of us will know the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And in the Gospel of Luke took time to explain who they are. In those days, if you understand, good people get blessed, bad people don't get blessed. Very simple cosmology of those days. If you are good, you get blessed. If you are no good, God won't bless you. And barrenness was seen as a curse. But Luke went about explaining that Zechariah and his wife, Elizabeth, came from a respectable priestly stock. Right? What did he say here? Let me read to you. It says, when Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. It means they come from very godly stock. No? And Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eye. Very important. They were righteous in God's eye. Careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulation. Wonderful, right? So they say, these good people should be blessed. But then the next verse says, they had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive and they were both very old. So if you were a reader of the Luke's gospel in those days, this suddenly like a plot twist, right? Check, check, they are good people. How come no kids? What happened? So no one can say they were sinners. They were righteous people. They obey all God's commandments. They so-called, they have a list and they check it twice. They were right with God, but yet they were barren. So one day Zechariah was serving the Lord and it was his duty to pray. And then we all know the story in verse 11. While Zechariah was in a sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer." If you were a reader of the Gospel of Luke, start with a high point. Righteous people, no kids, low point. Then, angel appeared, high point again. And now, your wife is pregnant. Wow, highest point. So you are going through this whole roller coaster of faith when you read the story. He said, "Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John." And John, as we all know, means grace. God has not forgotten Zechariah. But what is beautiful about Zechariah was angel Gabriel say, "God has heard your prayer." When he was a young man, he and his wife prayed for a child. Most likely they want a son. It was easy to pray to have kids in your 20s. It was easy to pray perhaps also in your 30s. 40 is pushing it, but still possible. 50, ayo. 60. 70. I do not know how old Zechariah was, but he was pretty elderly when he prayed. But what it was powerful was this: God has heard your prayer. It's easy to pray for something for a week, 2 weeks, maybe a year or two. But imagine if he has prayed for 30 or 40 years of his life. He never gave up. What a challenge of faith for all of us. That we believe God for something, but sometimes because we live in a world of instant gratification, we want God to answer our prayer almost immediately. But sometimes I'll tell you one thing. God may move slowly, but he will always move suddenly. There are times God seems to be moving very slowly, but when God starts to move, it's suddenly. Say, "Your wife is pregnant." Oh, wow. Zechariah didn't laugh like you. He said, "How can this be?" That's when God answered your prayer. How can it be? Now you want to answer my prayer? Now I'm a bit bent. Now I'm a bit old. You want me to pray? To have to be a father? Wow, God, your timing is absolutely perfect. But then we all know the story, what God was saying to Zechariah. Your prayer is never about you. Your prayer was to have a son. But my prayer was to have a forerunner, someone to prepare his generation for my son to come. Sometimes your prayer can be so inward, it's about me, but God say, "No, if you want to pray, pray something about the kingdom." And so God, through angel Gabriel, say, "You going to have a son? I am going to have a forerunner." So both God and Zechariah was happy because both their prayers were answered. Next surprise we know was angel Gabriel appears to Mary, right? Next slide, it says, he tells you shall be conceived, all this and that. And Mary then replied to the angels, "How can this happen? I am a virgin." Now, in those days, godly people don't get their prayer answered. Barrenness. But now God has lifted away their shame. But now, on the other side of the spectrum, a virgin is now pregnant. Imagine you were Mary. and your tummy begins to show in the village. And people look at you. You're not even married. I'm a virgin. Yeah, sure. See? Shame. Shame. Righteous people, no kids, shameful. Young girl, got kids, shameful. What is Luke trying to tell us? He's saying to us that the gospel is always for the outsider. It's for those who don't seem to qualify, for those whose life seems controversial, for those whose life seems out of sync. For Zechariah and Elizabeth, they felt they had been forgotten or unnoticed or unseen by God, but they kept praying. But here was Mary, who was really minding her own business, and suddenly she got an assignment. And it was a very scandalous assignment. You know, sometimes, as a pastor, I ask someone, I need you to serve as usher. Let me pray about it. No scandal involved, right? But sometimes if God calls us to a scandal, the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. For the word of God will never fail. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's baby leaped within her. First recorded, an unborn child recognized the Savior. Right? Oh, there's a leap of faith. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and they start singing into song. In fact, you read the whole chapter. She sing, he sing, everyone sing. It's almost like a Bollywood production. Everyone was singing about the coming of the Savior. But what is important for us to capture is this. Zechariah prayed from his 20s to his elderly years, believing for a son. And God say, you have more than a son. He's a forerunner. He's coming in the spirit of Elijah. And here you have Elizabeth. Most of us often read this without thinking. Why the angel Gabriel had to tell Mary about Elizabeth was Elizabeth is now pregnant 6 months. Actually, he said that you go and be mentored by this mother-to-be. I always imagine this picture that Elizabeth, in her 20s, she will have a baby doll that she pretend that this was her child, and she would learn to clean the child, bathe the child, dress the child. And she practices for 30, 40 years of her life. Some people call it obsessive. But she somehow in her heart, there's expectation that one day this is going to happen. And then when it happened, when she was now ready, to be a mom, Mary has to come under her mentoring to be a mother of the Messiah. The challenge is this. When I pray, do I give up hope? Or the more I pray, the more hope arises. When God gives me a scandalous assignment, in that sense, do I need to work out the mechanics? Or should I trust Him to lead me to people who knows how to get it done? As I wait for God to fulfill my prayer, like Elizabeth, do I keep on practicing? Do I keep on practicing and perfect what has been planted in my heart? If God calls you to be a prophet, even the day has not yet come, have you learned to prophesy? If God calls you to be a worship leader, the day may not come for you to stand on stage, but you start to sing to the Lord. It calls for humility. That until God began to move, never give up hope, but never stop practicing the assignment He has for you. Because at the end of the day, for myself or for Pastor Rina, we are not called pastor merely because a title was being given to us. But rather, we have been practicing, we have been trusting. And the day comes when we are ready to step up to our assignment, God opens the door. But let me close with this. In the Old Testament, we all know this. Anyone who touched the Ark of the Covenant, what happened to them? They don't get a shock. They die because they were literally touching God. Mary was the first woman who has God in her. She did not die. Think about that. But you know so much more in the New Covenant? You and I have the Holy Spirit in us and we have not dropped dead. Because for Jesus Christ, He has come to give us life and life to the full. My first question to all of you is, how has God been surprising you lately? And my last question for you all to reflect is this. Have you allowed God to surprise you? Have you allowed God to surprise you? Some of us are between prayers, in a sense, waiting for the answers to come. Some of us are waiting for the fulfillment of something that has been in our heart for the longest time. And some of us have been given, like Mary, an assignment that's beyond our learning curve, but the Spirit of God will teach us. If you are willing for God to surprise you, I invite you to stand up where you are, that we can pray together right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I just pray for my brothers and my sisters. May you surprise them with amazement and wonders. Some of them are at that age of just giving up those prayers. But Father, give them the grace to push it one more time. And for some of us, we hope for the day those prayers will open doors. But give us that grace to keep on practicing, keep on expecting. But Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for a freshness upon everybody, even as we live out our hearts in prayer, in praise. Something good is happening even right now for all of us. Bring that freshness upon them. Take away the tiredness. Take away the sour taste of life, that they may savor the sweetness of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray.